And I love this. For him to everyone of what you have seen and you have heard. You're giving testimony. This is what I saw. You're giving testimony. This is what I heard. You're giving testimony. This is how Jesus changed me. You're giving testimony. This is who I used to be. I should love this stuff and go here and do this. I don't love that stuff anymore. Why would someone who's walking now in truth go back to the sewer? No, I love Jesus. He owns me.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
There is none like you, God. There's just none like you. There's all kinds of little G gods running around, jockeying for our attention, clamoring for our attention. But there is only one true God, and it's you. And so we worship you today. We fall at your feet. We bow the knee. And so, God, as we open your word, may you speak. If a human person is heard, we all lose. But, Lord, when you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, move, that's when hearts get changed. And so, Lord, we need you. Oh, we need you. Every hour we need you. And we need you right now. You, God, through the Holy Spirit, be our teacher. We're going to joyfully submit and sit under you and your word. Show us your way. Show us your will. Show us your glory today, God. And to you be the praise and honor. And we pray this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Acts 22, and the title of our message today is, What is My Defense? If you are involved in athletics or have been, you would know that a lot of times a good defense is a good what? Offense. In this culture, you must have a good spiritual defense. If you don't, you're going to get swept away. The culture is clawing and clamoring and has its fangs out and its talons out, and it's looking to kill, steal, destroy, and sink its teeth into you if you're not careful. And so we want to have a good defense. And so here it is, Acts 22. I'm going to read verses 1 through 21. Here's kind of the game plan. There's a lot of verses. I picked out three small chunks. We're going to read it. I'm going to commentate on the chunks that we're not going to talk about. Look at the three chunks, supporting verses, three keys. We're going to shout Jesus, leave the church house, and go live for the one who saved us. Amen? And so here's what the word says, ESV translation, Acts 22. Brothers and fathers, hear the what? Help me, church, help me. Defense. That I now make before you. And when they heard that he, who is he, by the way, do we know? Close. That's actually a great answer, by the way. I love that answer. That's close. It's Paul. Love God, though. Do you guys love God? Will you support what she just said? God? Can we shout God? Amen. Praise the Lord, right? Love that. Keep that up. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, remember, this is Aramaic, so when you see Hebrew in the New Testament, it's referring to Aramaic. So make sure you get that, okay? So Hebrew in New Testament is not Hebrew Old Testament. Hebrew New Testament is Aramaic, okay? Very key. They began, this is just so funny, they became even more quiet. Pause there, right? It says, so the people, remember, what are the people trying to do to Paul? Not a trick question. They're trying to do what? They're trying to kill him, right? So now all of a sudden, they're real quiet. Well, Paul's setting up his defense. Because a great defense is a good offense. And he's coming alongside. Just as we read this, you're going to see he's coming alongside him. He's kind of reeling them in. He's reeling them in. And then he's going to go, boom. He's going to drop the Jesus bomb on him, isn't he? Well, here it is. So they became more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew, verse 3. So who's trying to kill Paul? Jews. And if he says, I'm a Jew, do you see what he's doing? He's reeling in, right? He's going, look, I'm like you. Don't kill me. I'm like you. Okay. Born in Tarsus in Cilicia, that would have conveyed to them that he was smart. A lot of intellect. Well, how do we know? Well, it's interesting when you study this, we're going to see very clearly that he's a smart dude. But brought up in this city, so I'm not only a Jew, but I actually have been brought up in the very city that we stand in today that you were from, and yes, you, a Jew like me, you're trying to kill me. See how he's coming close to these guys? He's coming close. He's pleading his defense, because church, help me on this. A good defense is a really good offense, okay? So what happens? Well, look what happens next. Educated at the feet of Gamaliel. This was the Michael Jordan, the Tom Brady rabbi of the day. This was the GOAT. This was the GOAT. This is the greatest of all time when it came to rabbis. So he says, look, I'm a Jew, one of you. I'm actually have been brought up in this very city, Jerusalem. And oh, by the way, I've been trained by the GOAT of rabbis. Don't kill me. Don't kill me. What happens next? Well, he goes even deeper. According to the strict manner, the strict teachings of the law of, this is so subtle. Do you see what he said here? Whose fathers? There's a word there, three letters. What does that convey? Right? Our. Do you see what he's doing? I mean, he is reeling these guys in tight. Our fathers, he's proving again how ridiculous these claims are about him. That's what lies do. They're ridiculous. They're false, of course. Being zealous, Paul's saying, look, I literally was just not zealous. I was a zealot. I was a Pharisee, is what he's saying. For God, as all of you are. Common ground, building bridges. Look at 4, verse 4. He really peels back the onion, doesn't he? I persecuted this way. Christianity back in that day was called the way. Jesus said in John 14:6, not on the screens, I am what? The way. The what? Help me, church. Truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me being Jesus. So Paul is on his way, recounting his conversion to go persecute the way. Paul's on his way to go persecute the way. Well, what happens next? Well, he describes this persecution he's going to implement on the Christians. I'm persecuted this way to the death, okay? Binding and delivering to prison both men and women. He didn't care. 5, as the high priest and the whole council of elders, that Sanhedrin, can bear me witness. So he's going, look, if you don't believe me, go ask these guys. From them I received the letters. Those are kind of like extradition papers. to the brothers, and I journeyed towards Damascus to take those, these Christians, who were there and bring them in bonds, chains, being bound to Jerusalem. So extradition papers, I'm going to bring them back. Why? To be punished, persecuted, imprisoned, even death. Look at verse 6. As I was on my what? Way. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon. What typically, except for yesterday, probably a bad illustration, but today, what is usually shining bright at high noon? Sun. Okay, so put that in your noggin and let it boggle around for a moment. Because what's it say next? Well, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. So was it just the physical sun? Well, of course not. How do we know? Read on. That's what I love about the Bible. Just read on. And I fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now, those who were with me, hint, hint, saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? He said to me, the Lord did, rise, go to Damascus, and there you'll be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. So Paul's blinded. This is interesting. I don't know if you picked up on this. He's blinded, but no one else is in this group. Did you pick up on that? He's the only one blinded in this group. File that in your catalog there. 12, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your, what church? Sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him, and he said, the God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth, for you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. 17, when I had returned to Jerusalem, so remember back in Acts 9, and that's kind of the reference to all of this, that's his conversion. He went to Damascus, and in 3 years he was in Arabia. And when I was praying, that goes on and says here in 17 of Acts 22, in the temple. So that right there refutes the accusation that he was desecrating the temple. That was one of the three accusations. Paul's desecrating the temple. If you're desecrating the temple, why would you go to the temple to pray? Doesn't make any logical sense. That's why when lies come out about truth tellers, it all unravels at some point. So what happens? Well, I fell into a trance, okay? Total astonishment, beyond his senses, carried literally into the supernatural realm is what that means in the Greek. And I saw him saying to me, make haste, get out of Jerusalem quickly because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. He's opposing the direction he's getting from the Lord. He's like, but you don't understand. I got a glory story to share to these people. These people need you. So what happens? Well, after I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you, yeah, that's what Paul did. Paul was a Pharisee on spiritual steroids. He persecuted those that gave their lives to Jesus. 20 and 21. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving, giving consent to, being pleased with. That's what happens when you walk in darkness. You consent to and you're pleased with dark things. And watching over the garments of those who killed him. And then what happens in 21? And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And church, this is the word of God, and all God's people said. See, Paul's mission, even being a Jew, as we know, was to go to the Gentiles. And the Jews are going to be furious because they view God as the God of only who? Themselves. And we know this, that the Bible is clear that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. When it's true, when it's real, it's not phony, it's not baloney, but it's real. Like you're like, I'm calling on Jesus today. Like I need him. Oh, I need him. I need you, Jesus. I see how desperate I am without you. Here's my sin and my shame and all my baggage and the broken shards of my life and the pieces. And here it is, Jesus. And he's the master of taking the mess you hand him and creating a glorious message. And if you have any doubt about that, just look at the life of the Apostle Paul. I love these 21 verses. Because in verse 1, which is the first of these three chunks we've pulled out, I want you to look at something that's very important. Because, church, you know this, that a good defense is a really good offense. Look at verse 1 of 22 Acts. Brothers and fathers. So, again, Paul's being real polite here. They try to kill him. He's a criminal in their minds. And ironically, this is the same phrase Stephen used before they threw rocks at him. Hear the what? What's it say there? Hear the what? Defense that I'll make before you. So it's real clear here. It's the word apologia. It's where we get our English word apologetics. It simply means this, to give a defense, to present an argument of. So there's something that you know to be true, and you're presenting, you're giving your defense, because you know, if you're in athletics especially, you know this, that a really good defense is a really good offense. And so many people today, I believe, who even profess Christ, don't have a good spiritual offense because they got a really lousy and crummy spiritual defense. It's interesting because the word apologia, again, where we get the word apologetics, it's that word defense right here in verse 1. It's not the apology that we've turned it into. When you think of apology, what do you think of? Well, I royally messed up, and so I now, you now apologize. You feel bad for, right? You are under conviction. You are looking to repent. No, this is a defense. Paul is giving a defense. It's not one of these he's hoping, he's wishing, He's not crossing his fingers, crossing his toes, crossing his eyes, hoping this will work out. He's like, no, this is my defense because I know it to be true. See, when you know something to be true, you don't waffle on it, do you? At least you shouldn't. When you know something to be true, you count on it, you bank on it. You're like, I know this to be true. This has changed my life. I am not the same person I used to be. I was walking in darkness, and now I'm walking in light. I was walking according to the power of Satan, and now I'm walking to the power of God. This is my defense. It's my glory story. It's my testimony. It is what you hang your hat on. That's why key number one is simply this. Key one, write this down. As with Paul, true Christ followers, so true, not false, true. It means you've given your life to Christ, you don't own it, you're surrendered. True Christ followers will face some level, they will face some level of persecution / mistreatment. And therefore, here's the three key words, must be prepared to give a, what church? Defense of who we were before we gave our lives to Jesus. So we're going to give a defense for who we used to be. That's one of the most powerful witnessing tools that gets neglected. Just simply, who were you before Christ? And by the way, when you share it and then you go live it, now you're cooking with grease, amen? I mean, that's where you can talk about it all day long. Oh, I was saved, I got baptized, and I've given this and done that and served here and pulled weeds, hint, and you know, all these things that go on. And yet, if you've never truly given your life to Christ, at some point, hate to burst your bubble, it's going to get exposed. Oh, it'll get exposed. Sometimes it takes a lifetime, I've seen, but at some point, it gets exposed. You've heard me say this over and over, and I'm going to say it again. Time is the great exposer of who everyone, including myself, really is. Just give all of us time. Just give us time. You can play the game, do the dance, keep the curtain closed, got the windows pulled down and the shades, the charade going. At some point, you can only keep up with the charade so long. When you're a true Christ follower, you don't have to keep up with anything except you're keeping up with Jesus. Amen? Where are we going today, Jesus? That's what Paul was doing. Matter of fact, let me give you some supporting verses here. Probably the most famous is from 1 Peter. So write this down. 1 Peter chapter 3, about being prepared, okay? 14 through 16. This is, I would think this is probably the most talked about in this defense, okay? 1 Peter 3, 14 through 16. Peter's writing, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. So if you're going to suffer for the cause of Christ, hey, I'm living for Jesus and my family hates me, welcome to the club, amen? Hey, I'm living for Jesus and the guys down at the school or at the workplace, they hate me, welcome to the club. Hey, I'm living for Jesus and the people inside my church hate me. That's part of it, amen? That's just part of it. So you're going to suffer, but you're going to be blessed. What a great promise, amen? Who wants to be blessed by a show of hands? Oh, you look at that. A few of you are lying out there. Look at that. Okay, all right. We all want to be blessed, amen? So when you suffer, right there in God's Word, it tells us we're going to be blessed for the suffering. So I hope that encourages you. Have no fear of them. There it is, right there. Don't fear about those that talk, that murmur, that gossip, that slander, that lie about you. It's part of it. They did it to Jesus, they're going to do it to you, nor be troubled, but in your hearts, there it is, honor Christ, the Lord is holy, always being prepared to make a, help me, defense. It's the same exact Greek word. How often should you and I be prepared? Always. Just always prepared. Just always prepared. Always prepared to share your glory story. Always prepared to be that person that says, hey, this is what God did in my life. Always be prepared to anyone who asks you for the reason that you have for what? Hope, for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness. They're saying when you go witness, don't bring out one of those really big King James Bibles and start beating people over the heads. Be saved. Come to know the Lord. Probably not going to work. I wouldn't recommend it. 16, having a good conscience. Why? So that when you are slandered, when you look at that in the original, it's saying take it to the bank, it's going to happen. Take it to the bank. It's going to happen. You're going to be slandered. If you're really going to live for the Lord, be fully devoted, surrendered, oh, trust me, you're going to be slandered. It's just going to happen. That those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. There'll be shame. I can't believe I'm talking about this guy or this lady like this. I can't believe what's wrong with me. That's what happens, and that's exactly what's happening in Paul's day. Write down Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, 12 through 18. Romans 8, 12 through 18. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will what, church? Die. But what happens? So I love this. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. So many people are fearful. They're just fearful of everything. To fall back into fear? No, we fall forward into Jesus. But you have received the Spirit holy of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. And if children, then heirs. But we love that. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided, there's a caveat here. Provided what? Are you reading this? This is kind of one of those you kind of go, man, can I remove that from the Bible? All right, provided we do what? Do you guys know? Man. Anyone get up this morning going, I can't wait to suffer for Jesus? I can't wait to suffer for Jesus. Right there in the scripture, it tells us, this is God's word, that suffering for him is par for the course. Because his suffering will reveal, our suffering for him will reveal our devotion to him. Don't miss this. Our suffering for him will reveal our devotion to him. Suffering for, devotion to. Suffering for, devotion to. Provided we suffer with him in order, here's the why, that we may be glorified with him. And then 18 is a great verse. You want to have this written somewhere. I mean, put it on a note card and, I don't know, tape it to your forehead and walk around. But here it is, Romans 8:18. I love this. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this earthly time in this earthly tent, this earthly vessel, are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. If you believe that today, say amen. Like, if your hope is just in this life, what you can accumulate, house, cars, cash, retirement, sailboats, job promotions, the praise of men, I mean, on and on we go. If that is all that you have in this life, you know what the Bible says about this? Actually, Paul talks about this. He says, you are most to be pitied. Most to be pitied. If like that's all there is. So if our hope is Christ just on this side of eternity and we're just kind of mixing him in with all the stuff that we're chasing, we are most to be pitied. No, Christ died. Christ went into a grave. And on the third day, the grave could not hold my king. Amen? There's power in that. There's power in that. And it's not worth comparing. So the phrase worth in the original language means this. It's like a metal that is being tested to see if the metal's true. So if you have like something that looks like gold and you take it to the goldsmith, the gold person, and you give it to them and they put water on it and then it turns their skin green, it's probably not real gold. Amen. That's what that means. It's tested. It's passed the test. And that's what suffering does. It strengthens your spiritual muscles so that you will pass the test. Christianity is more than John 3:16. A lot of times we just, let's just always talk about, who wants to go to heaven, right? You'd have to be a lunatic to say no, right? I mean, is that all I got to do? Let's go to heaven. Sure. Yeah. When's the train leave? God's got a wonderful plan for your life. You hear that all the time. Well, he does, but make sure you give the people the whole gospel. You're going to suffer for this, especially in this culture. I mean, in this culture, they're going to call you out. At some point, they're going to call you out at the schoolhouse and at the workplace and at the hospital and at the family reunion and even inside churches, they will call you out. Where do you really stand on this issue? And your response should be, I stand where God stands. That's where I stand. Because when you stand with him, even if they take you out in the parking lot and tar and feather you, you stand and still the majority, amen? 2 Timothy chapter 4 says it like this, about being prepared, 14 through 18. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message of truth, is what he's talking about. Look at 15 or 16 rather. At my first defense, a good defense is a really good what, church? Offense. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. Wow. Wow. Those are big boy words, aren't they? 17, but the Lord stood by me, and he strengthened me. Why? There's a why. So that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him, church, to him. We're talking about God. We're talking about the God that's not dead but fully alive. To him, I'm telling you, to him be the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said. Boy, I pray that gets you stirred. I pray it gets you stirred. Our God is awesome, isn't he?
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
And that's why, lastly, Luke 22, write this down about being prepared. Write this down, Luke 22, 31 through 32. Write this down, Luke 22, 31 through 32, about being prepared. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you. Oh, boy. Let me read that one more time. So who's speaking, by the way? Do we know? Jesus, good. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you. Why? That he might sift you like wheat. The old sifters, right? Satan wants you, Simon, because he wants to shake you to the core. He wants to shake you and he wants to bake you. He wants to shake Jesus out of you, is what he's implying here. Give me Simon, Simon, because I'm going to prove that he's not going to stand the test of time. And some of us today are in the sifter. And we can be in the sifter for a variety of reasons. God can be shaking you today because you are tried and true, and he wants to make you more tried and true, and you're walking the course. Other times, he's shaking us because he's trying to get our attention. Because we're distracted by the cares of the world, And he's shaking us. And he's going, wake up. Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded you that he might sift you like wheat. But I, now who's the I here again? Jesus. But I have prayed for you. Can you imagine? Like, you're Simon, and you hear that Jesus is praying for you. Anyone else go, wow? Like, Jesus. Like, it's great. Don't you love it? I love when people go, hey, I'm praying for you. I love that. Keep doing it. But can you imagine Jesus goes, I'm praying for you. That's good. I'm praying for you, Simon. I prayed for you that your faith may not what? Fail. And when, not if, but when you have turned again or returned, go home and take a nap. Is that what that says? No. I mean, when you've returned, you've been sifted, you've been shaken, you've been beaten around. And sometimes in this spiritual walk, I don't know about you, but there's some days you ever feel like a human pinata? I mean, you just feel like you're getting beaten over and over and over. You've been sifted like wheat. Oh, I love this here. This is so encouraging to me, and I pray it's encouraging to you. But we can't just sit on our laurels. We can't sit on our blessed assurance any longer. It's time to go do something. It's time to take action. I'm tired. Join the club. We're all tired. We're all exhausted. Keep living for Jesus. Keep pressing on. Keep running the race. It's going to be worth it all, for I know I have believed. I know, Jesus, I believed in you, and I know that you are able to keep, to guard, to preserve that which I've committed to you until the day. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but a holy, totally lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All. That job promotion, that sailboat, that big house, that nice car, the great family, the dogs, you name it, throw it all in there. It's sinking sand. It's sinking sand. It's on Christ we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling Peter here in Luke, go strengthen your brothers. Use your pain for purpose. There's always purpose in your pain. Use it to go strengthen someone else. And the God of all comfort, 2 Corinthians, not on the screens, but 2 Corinthians right there, chapter 1. And the God of all comfort who comforts you in your trial and your tribulation. Why? So you can go comfort, so you can go strengthen someone else in their trial. That's how that works, isn't it? Don't waste it. Don't waste your trial. Don't waste your mess. Don't waste it. Use it as a billboard for how great God is. Boy, this was hard. This was difficult. I didn't like it. It was lousy. It stinks, comma. But God got me through. That's the power of God, amen? Look at our second section, Acts 22, 6 through 10. And you got to wonder, these Jews, Paul's building the bridge. They're probably thinking, well, why are we trying to kill this guy? He sounds like one of us. Well, here it is, Acts 22, 6 through 10. As I was on my way, remember, to persecute the way, and drew near to Damascus at high noon, there it is again, the brightness, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. Oh, that's the glory of the sun, right? That's just the glory of the sun. Isaiah, you could say it. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And the glory of the Lord shone around me. We even know about the new heaven, new earth, that we don't need an S-U-N there, do we? You know why, don't you? We don't need an S-U-N there. Do you know why? Because we got the S-O-N. We got the S-O-N who shines. He's the bright and morning star. Well, what happens? Well, look here. 7, and I fell to the ground, you think? Can you imagine? Heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, that's his Hebrew name. Why are you persecuting? Why are you mistreating, harassing me, Jesus says. And I answered, who are you, Lord? He said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth. So right there, okay. Now, he was building a bridge, 1 through 5. And now what is he doing? We call this the Jesus bomb, don't we? This thing's going to explode. Like, it wasn't just Jesus, it was of Nazareth. This is like, boom. Can you imagine these Jews who hate Jesus hearing this? 9. Now those who were with me, that's his posse of persecutors, they saw the light. So they saw it too. Go put it on an APB on those guys. Find them. They'll verify it. But they did not understand. They did not comprehend the voice of the one who was speaking to me. The Bible says that the sheep of Jesus hear his voice and they know his voice. Isn't that intriguing? No one else, only Paul. Just marinate on that. Lastly, verse 10, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, rise, get up, go to Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed, selected, determined, ordained for you to do. Wow, that's powerful. Write down key number 2. Write this down. Key 2. As true Christ followers, our defense will include that we came face to face with our sin as we had an encounter with Jesus. Write this down. Key number 2. As true, not false, as true Christ followers, our defense, our apologetic, will include that we came face to face with our sin as we had an encounter with Jesus. You know, so many times Jesus will not take you and I to point B because we're disobeying in point A. A lot of times it's that simple. God, why aren't I going to point B? Not all the time, but there are times where we're not going to point B because we're disobeying at point A. Think about this for a second. I want to give you a scripture here. Write this down, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, 19 through 22. Matthew 16, 19 through 22. And behold, a man came to him. Any idea who him is? Just take a guess. Jesus, good. Saying, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? So this guy has dumbed it down that somehow he's got to do the work in this rescuing process. 17. And he said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. He said to him in verse 18, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you, what? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. 20, the young man said to him, all these I have kept. What do I still lack? Liar, liar, pants on fire, amen? There's no way that he kept all these things. Jesus told us this in the greatest sermon ever preached, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. It's all about the heart. We may not murder with our fist, with a knife, with a gun, but we murder with our mouths. And on you go down this list. So what happens in all this dialogue? Well, okay, all these I've kept, the guy says. He's rich, he's young, he's a ruler, he's got it all going on. 21, Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, okay, you're perfect. I love this. Jesus is like, you're perfect? okay, all right. I see the game you're playing. Go sell what you possess and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And oh, by the way, come and follow me. Wow, okay. Woo. Boy, the bar is getting real high, isn't it? It's getting steep. 22, when the young man heard this, what did he do? He went away sorrowful. Why? Why do you go away sorrowful? Any ideas? Well, my Bible says this, for he had great possessions. Five words, for he had great possessions. Church, here is a rule of thumb. Take this to the bank. This check will cash. God, 100% of the time, 100% of the time, will ask you and I to give him what's most important to us. Because what's most important to us is usually standing exactly in the way of him being fully on the throne of our lives. He's not going to settle for second place. He's not looking even to be first runner-up as a trophy on your mantle over your fireplace. He will always, always come to you and I, and with a surgical, spiritually scalpel, get in there and find out what's most important to us. There's droves of people who've heard about Jesus. There's droves of people that have read the Bible. There's droves of people that attend church. And there's droves of those same very people that are not willing to give up the world. It's not willing to do it. It's not willing. Jesus, world? I think I'll take the world. Jesus, myself? I love me. It happens all the time. Church, may that not be us. May that not be us. Lastly, let me give you the final third chunk. Here it is. This is Acts 22, 12 through 16. Write this down. Acts 22, 12 through 16 in your notes. And let me ask a question before we read this. And the question would be something like this. Is having an encounter with Jesus, hear me clearly. I want you to think about this. Okay, I want you to really think. This is the last section. I want you to think. Really think, okay? Is having an encounter with Jesus, process what I just said there, and even staring your sin head on, is that enough biblically? Well, I'm going to say it one more time, and I want you to think really long before you answer this. Is having an encounter with Jesus and even staring your sin head on, is that enough biblically? Biblically speaking. Hold your thought. Acts 22, 12 through 16. And when Ananias, a devout man, a godly man, according to the law, he's not anti-Jewish, well-spoken, well-respected. By all the Jews, he lived there. Now look at 13 of Acts 22. He came to me, Paul. See how the Lord, you see how the Lord just putting, Paul's obeying at A, and God's going, okay, let's go to B. Wait a minute, let's go to C. Let's go to D. All these people in his path for credibility, and standing by me, and he said to me, brother Saul, receive your sight. Check, that's wonderful. And at that very hour, I received my sight, and I saw him. Now look at 14. And he said, the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, appointed, again, there's that same word, to select, to ordain. He ordained you, he selected you, he appointed you to know his will, not your own will, but God's will, to see the righteous one. Now, in my Bible, R is capitalized and so is the O, righteous one. It's a Jewish messianic term, the righteous one. Every true believer should be able to go, Jesus is the righteous one. Oh yeah, he's given me his righteousness. That's Philippians 3, 9, not on the screens, but it's he's the one that's righteous, not me. He's made me righteous. He's made you righteous. For God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we, here it is, church, that we might become. See, that's the whole point. It's not that you might become good church attenders. It's not that you might become good people that serve in the church, although that's important. It's that you might become the righteousness of God in and through Christ. That is the goal. That's the number one goal for every person that professes Christ, right there. That you might become. And so what happens? Well, look back here at Acts 22. And to hear a voice from his mouth. Now look at 15. Here's the last two verses. I love this. For you will be a what? This is so important. Don't miss this. For you'll be a what? Help me. Witness. The word is martus. It's where we get our English word martyr. So a martyr, if you think about a martyr, what do you typically think of? Someone help me. What do you think of? A martyr. Someone who dies because of their faith in Christ. And that would be a true statement. In its primal definition, it means to be a witness for Christ. Now, here's the deal. This is the beauty of Scripture. The beauty of Scripture is this. You may not physically die for Jesus, but if you're really, truly his, you will, number one, die to self. You will put self on the shelf. You will crucify your flesh. Yes, it's ongoing. I get it. But there will be a marked change. People will look at you and they'll go, I don't know if you got kidnapped and someone put a body double, but you are different. Your wife, your husband will look at you and go, I don't know what happened, but this is amazing. Praise the Lord. Because you will be a different person. Marked change. True change. A witness. Paul is told here he's going to be a witness. And oh, by the way, he's going to die to himself. He says it's no longer I, but Christ. He talks about crucifying the flesh over and over and over and over. He talks about being the old man and the new man, about taking off the old and putting on the new, being clothed in Christ's righteousness over and over and over. He talks about this stuff. But yes, he went to the guillotine, lost his head at the hands of Nero. He was a true martyr. You will be my witness. But Jesus is saying through Ananias, and I love this, for him to everyone of what you have seen and you have heard. You're giving testimony. This is what I saw. You're giving testimony. This is what I heard. You're giving testimony. This is how Jesus changed me. You're giving testimony. This is who I used to be. I should love this stuff and go here and do this. I don't love that stuff anymore. Why would someone who's walking now in truth go back to the sewer? No, I love Jesus. He owns me. And then what happens? Lastly, this is so good. So good. 7:16. And now why do you wait? Literally in the original language, you know what this says? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Like, you have this opportunity, Paul, to go live for Christ. You have this opportunity to go share your glory story. You have this opportunity to go impact a culture forever, as eternal things are what matter most. And so many people today, I don't know the data, but I know it's got to be a lot. There are many people who profess Christ, and the reality is they're just living for themselves. And they have a great opportunity to go live for Jesus. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? And what happens? Well, he says, rise, get up, be baptized. Be baptized. Does baptism save? Of course not. It's an external, obedient act that shows an inward change. And wash away your sins, calling on his name. The only name that you can be saved by. Amen. The Bible says this, that there's no other name referring to Jesus. There's only one name that you can be saved. If we negotiate on that point, we're toast. People go, well, that sounds mean. That sounds narrow-minded. That sounds exclusive. It's not mean. It's the most loving thing you can do. It is narrow-minded and it is exclusive, because there's only one way you can be saved, and his name is Jesus. If you're looking anywhere else, you are chasing the wind. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. It's Jesus Christ and Him alone. And by the way, before I give you this last key, the grammatical construction of this sentence is actually different than it is in English. Calling on His name, as I look at it right here in front of me, calling on His name precedes rise and be baptized in the original. So if there's anyone out there going, look, somehow baptismal regeneration happens. No, it doesn't. There's nothing magical in that water when that's filled. It's a celebration, amen, and we love doing it. We love it that the old man, the old woman, the old child, the old student, they go down in the water and they come out. And yes, it's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, amen. Key number three, here it is, last key. Remember that question I asked you about an encounter in sin? Here it is. Just having an encounter with Jesus and coming face to face with our sin is not enough. This happens all the time. A bunch of people do this. Oh, there's Jesus. I see Him. Hey, buddy. Oh, there's my sin. Hi, sin. No, true spiritual regeneration bears fruit that is worthy of repentance. There's a bunch of people that have had an encounter with Jesus. Think about the people in Scripture who had an encounter with Jesus and they rejected Him. You can have an encounter and still reject Him. Oh, yeah. Happens all day long. You can stare your sin in the face. Here's my sin. What am I going to do with it? I've been confronted with it. What am I going to do? You can turn and walk the other way. Don't fall into the trap that, oh, I had an encounter with Jesus. Did you give your life to Jesus? No. Sorry, chief. Go back to start. Go down the Candyland chute and start over. Paul is being transformed from a persecutor of Jesus to a witness for Jesus. So don't miss this. I'm going to read some verses. He's being transformed right here. We're hearing about his transformation right here. Acts 9, yes, but he's recounting it right here. Acts 22, from a persecutor of Jesus to a witness, a martyr, a willing bondservant, willingly giving up his rights for Jesus. And that should be your glory story. Because here's the deal. You go, well, I didn't throw anybody in jail before I gave my life to Jesus. Oh, I can assure you this, though. You helped nail him to a cross. That's what I did. That's what you did. So you mistreated and you harassed Jesus before you gave your life to him. That's what I did. I mistreated him. I harassed him. That's what I did. So we all, if we've given our lives to Christ, hypothetically, we persecuted Christ. And now if it's real, it's true, we are now witnesses for. Witnesses for. You're a witness for. Everywhere you go, you're a witness for Jesus. Oh, yeah, and people will know, by the way. Oh, they'll figure you out quick. We live in a culture now where they're pretty sharp, and they can figure out real quick if they're being sold a bill of goods here that's, selling ice to the Eskimos, so to speak, right? Oh, they'll figure you out in a heartbeat. You can't do it. It's back in the day, you kind of fool people. Not anymore. Oh, they're going to figure you out real quick. They'll sniff you out. Are you still persecuting Jesus even though you claim Him? Are you still mistreating, harassing Him? He said, I'm over here. I want to give you a new life. I want to save you. I want you to be for me. For me. I'm for you, He says, when you give your life to me. Won't you be for me today? And so what happens? Well, let's look at just a few quick verses and we'll close. So let me read key number three again. This is important. Just having an encounter with Jesus. I mean, this is where many people blow it right here. They just blow it right here. Just having an encounter with Jesus. I heard this all the time. So tell me about so-and-so. Well, you know, when Timmy was six, he got baptized. Okay, what's Timmy doing now? We have no clue spiritually. How old's Timmy? 37? 63? He got baptized. Okay, so he got wet. Praise Jesus, golf clap. I mean, this happens all the time. It's just not biblical. The Bible's so clear. Just having an encounter with Jesus, coming face to face with him, or coming face to face with our sin? No. True spiritual regeneration, being saved, rescued, bears fruit that is worthy of repentance. You go, where do you get this from? God, you ask. Here it is. Here's the verses. Matthew 3, 7 through 8. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers," this is John the Baptist, "who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bear fruit in keeping with what? Repentance." What's repentance? Turning from sin, not looking at it, not saying hi to it, fleeing. You'll be turned into a pillar of salt if you keep looking back, right? 2 Corinthians 7:10, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces what? Death." So we already know that the Bible says that when our salvation is true, it's going to bear fruit worthy of repentance. Well, I want you to think about one last thing here, and here's the last section. Let me give you this. Acts 9:18 through 22. So this is Paul's conversion. We go back to Paul. So here it is. Ready? "And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes," that's Paul, "and he regained his sight. Then he arose," he did something, was baptized, we saw that, "and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately," I love this, 20, "and immediately, without delay, he proclaimed Jesus," where? "In the synagogues at Ground Zero," where they hate him, "saying, 'He is the Son of God.' And all who heard him were amazed and said, 'Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name?'" I mean, they are perplexed. "And has he not come here for the same purpose? Is he trying to trick us? To bring them bound before the chief priests?" 22, I love this. Here it is, last verse. "But Saul increased all the more in strength, and he confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by," here it is, "by proving that Jesus was the Christ." And all God's people said, man, that is good. That's good stuff. You know how you prove that Jesus is the Christ? Two ways. It's in the scriptures, and we believe God's word, amen? But as you go live for him, you're going to prove that he is the Christ, because church, a good offense is also what? A good defense. And a good defense is a good offense, amen? Father, we come before you. We worship you. God, may your name be extolled in this place today. Lord, we just don't need you on the day of rescue. Lord, from the day of rescue, we need you until we depart this earth. Don't allow us to become full of ourselves. Don't allow us to think we've got it all figured out. Don't allow us to be a people that think we can't learn, because I know I can. And I pray we all can. And so, Father, may this be the anthem of our heart. If there's one here that's never truly given their life to you, God, I pray today will be the day. Whatever you want to do in this moment, we give this moment to you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.